I'm Christopher. Welcome here, all you who are joining us and joining us online, the pastor here at Abbeydale Christian Fellowship. Before I begin, I just want to say one thing. Sometimes when I get really, really excited, I talk way too fast. And I was informed last week that that had happened. And so sometimes I'm very blind, and sometimes I miss the signals of people saying, slow down. So if I ever get way too excited and you're like, this man is talking a mile a minute, just like wave me down, okay? Okay, brothers and sisters, that's one way you can help me to care for you as well. All right, so far this year, we have been in the book of Exodus. We've been learning from this incredible book of Scripture that has this incredible story of God coming and setting his people free and then drawing them into this covenantal relationship so that he can dwell with them, so that the Israelites and all the people the Israelites encounter and come across would know that God is the Lord, is the I Am. And so we named our series Exodus, our saving, forming, dwelling God, to try to capture these big three God-initiated movements in the book of Exodus that are crucial to what it means to know God, that our God saves, that our God forms, that our God dwells with us. And with the closing words of Exodus 40, read by Julia, we hear where this all comes to, of God's presence and his glory descending on this special tent called a tabernacle. And this tabernacle where God's presence is at the center of the people kind of leads and guides them wherever they go. A couple things here. One, I just want to say, I know it didn't happen this morning, but I've really enjoyed the team reading of Scripture. Having those multiple voices, and it just kind of brings it alive in a new way. So thank you for our Scripture readers during this series. You have tackled some momentous Scripture readings, and I have thoroughly enjoyed how you've made them come alive. And so for everyone who's been part of that, thank you. And two, I just want to kind of peel back the curtain. Thank you. A little bit. And when we were putting together this series, I was praying and hoping that it would work out, that some key events in Exodus lined up with key celebrations of the church. And one of them was with Easter, right? So we had this Passover reading of Exodus and preaching. And then we got to go with the Israelites through the Red Sea. And that led right into Holy Week as we went in then to the greater Passover with Jesus, with his death, his resurrection. And I was hoping, and the plan was always that this would be the second key event of Exodus that lined up with a key celebration of the church, that we would come to Pentecost Sunday and hear and from Exodus of how the glory of the Lord came to and rested on the tabernacle in the middle of God's people as a sign of God's glory in their midst. Maybe your imaginations are already firing up a little bit, being like, ooh, yeah, there's some connections there, right? These connections between these events detailed at the end of the book of Exodus and the beginning of the books of Acts as the Spirit comes with power and fire alighting on each one who is a disciple of Jesus. And what we're hoping to do today is to see how we're an Exodus people. The church, you and me, that's us. This story is partly how we understand what has happened to us in Jesus. And we're also a Pentecostal people, born out of the giving of the Spirit to the church. And so what happens at Pentecost, with the Spirit coming and alighting on each disciple of Jesus, well, we can help understand it by looking back at the presence of God descending on the tabernacle at the end of the book of Exodus. And what I hope for and pray for today is that we would leave here in awe, on fire, engaged, and finding comfort in a deep trust that we are this Pentecostal Exodus people, those who know and are transformed and set loose by the glory and presence of God in our midst. And to do that, like I said, we're going to first look back at Exodus. That's thing one, covering and filling this tabernacle. And then we're going to look back at Pentecost from what we've learned of Exodus to begin answering this question in Acts 2, what does this mean? What's going on? And then we will look ahead into our lives at what it means for us to be a people who are led by the Spirit, who is the very glory and presence of God in our midst. Ready? Let's go. All right, what does this mean? Exodus helps us understand God's dwelling through Pentecost. So as Jesus is preparing for his disciples for his ascension to the Father in Acts 1, he leads them with these instructions to wait in Jerusalem for the gift of the Spirit to come from the Father. And once the Spirit is given, then they will receive power to go and take this message of the good news of the kingdom of Jesus and be witnesses to the ends of the earth. And that's what happens in Acts 2. The Spirit comes, this violent wind, we are told, fills the room, and a fire separates, and each tongue of flame rests on each one there. And the disciples begin to speak in so many languages that all these folks, Jews and God-fearers, that's Gentile converts alike, from all over the world who have traveled for the Feast of Pentecost, hear their own language from just a bunch of locals. And the crowd of folks from all over the world are amazed and perplexed, and they say, what does this mean? What is going on? What is happening here? Some, however, Scripture tells us, made fun of them, and they've had too much new wine or sweet wine. So what's going on? Why this dramatic encounter of God's Holy Spirit and presence and power like wind and fire? Here's my assumption that you are with me, that the sweet wine is not the answer. So what is the answer to what is going on? Let's take a look at Exodus. In Exodus, God is the initiator of all the action, all the story, all the salvation and formation and relationship with his people. And when God is with his people, whether that is with Moses in the wilderness near Mount Sinai as he flees Pharaoh's wrath early in the story, or when Moses and all the people are led out of Egypt through the sea and led to Mount Sinai, what is the common way? What is this thing that always seems to show up to show that God's presence is with them? What's there? What happens at the bush? What happens at the mountain? Fire. Okay, and what happens at the sea? Smoke? Yeah, a little bit. How does the sea get separated? The wind blows all night. Okay, good. Fire and wind. Fire and wind are these key ways to show that God's presence is with his people. It's there from the burning bush to the wind that drives back the waters of the sea, to the fire and smoke and violent wind and thunder on Mount Sinai. Now, a little plug and invitation. This Friday, to celebrate and mark the end of our Exodus series, the youth are hosting a movie night here at 7 p.m., and you're all invited, you and your family and friends. There will be popcorn, there will be drinks, and we're going to watch The Prince of Egypt. And one of my favorite part in that movie is when Moses encounters God in the burning bush. It is just incredible. And the filmmakers draw attention to the theme of God's glory and presence in fire and wind by having God's presence kind of ripple out in waves of wind and pressure from the burning bush. Keep an eye out for it. It's really cool. And come and see the movie. Like I said, it's excellent. Okay. Back to Exodus. God is telling his people again and again that he is doing all of this, all this thing in the book of Exodus, so that his people will know that I am, the name God gives himself, is the Lord, is God. And at the end of Exodus, as the people are still on their way to seeing the fulfillment of God's promise to take them to a land, he gives them instructions to build this tent, a tabernacle. We learned a lot about tabernacles last week. If you missed that sermon, go and check it out on our YouTube page or on our website. But Exodus ends on this note of God coming to dwell with his people. His glory, his presence covers and fills the tabernacle. It means literally a tent of dwelling, so that Israel would know and be formed and led by their God in the midst of them, who has saved them as he dwells there with them. So if you want to know how God shows up in Exodus, if God makes his presence known where he dwells with them, it's through fire and wind. So, a little recap. God is a God who makes himself known. God steps in to initiate and see to that salvation comes. The rescue from Egypt for the Israelites, again, is not the end goal. It's a key part of it, but the end goal is that God would be known by his people, and that salvation welcomes us in to this covenantal relationship with God where he can dwell with us and we can enjoy one another. And this is offered graciously by God. And his glory or his presence is given to them. So they would know that God is in their midst, and it comes as a sign often of fire or wind in Exodus to show that God is there with them. And the Israelites are then to have God's presence in the center of their lives. This is language of worship and priority. And the glory of this pillar of fire by night and cloud by day will lead them to where they will go. Language of obedience and guidance. Okay. With that in mind, we're now able to jump back into Acts 2. So what does this mean? The tabernacle glory in Exodus prepares us for Pentecostal presence. Now we have this better picture of what's going on, as the amazed and perplexed clouds asked of the Spirit, of what it means that the Spirit comes to rest on the church. You see, in Jesus, we have the greatest revelation of who God is. John tells us that in seeing Jesus, we have seen the glory of God, of the Son. And Jesus tells us that to see him is to see the Father. In Jesus, we see that the exodus of the Israelites out of Egypt and towards a promised land is in line, anticipates, and dances to this future rhythm of the salvation in Jesus, rescuing us from sin and evil and death. And we see that we now can come into this covenantal relationship, this new covenant with God, by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, whose blood body is given and whose blood is shed, so that we can have a new relationship with God. And like in Exodus, in the greater Exodus with Jesus, there is now again a sign of God's glory and presence for his people. Okay, here's where we get to have a little interactive quiz. Are you guys ready for this? So, question one. Okay. How is God's glory and presence experienced in Pentecost? Tongues of fire and wind. Ah, good. You guys are good so far. There it is. Ah, see? A plus for you all so far. Okay. Church, in the book of Exodus, when fire and this pillar come to rest in the tabernacle in Exodus, what does it reveal about God's presence and glory? This is maybe a trickier one. What does that signify? That the wind, the smoke, the cloud, the fire is there. What does that show who else is there? Ah, yes, good. Okay, we can pop it up. Yeah, God is in the midst of his people. He is there. Third question. There's a fourth coming in a bit. But third question. So then what does it mean that the Holy Spirit, a gift from the Father, comes with wind and fire on the day of Pentecost? That he's there. That the Holy Spirit is the presence of God in the midst of the people. Man, give yourselves a round of applause. That's 3 for 3 so far. You collectively are doing a great job. Okay, two things about this. The first is a little apologetics thing for those who like to engage in conversations with people. Because as you share out your faith and live out your discipleship to Jesus, at some point, I pray, someone will begin to ask questions about your faith. And one of the questions that comes up for Christians again and again and again is, what is this whole Trinity, God, Three, Holy Spirit, Father, Son thing? Now, some just are curious, but some will go further and will kind of press in and maybe even try to convince you that this is all just a later invention. This isn't in Scripture. They will say, where does it say that the Holy Spirit is God? Now, rarely is something stated so explicitly in Scripture. But when this comes up, if this ever comes up, bring them to Acts 2 and Exodus 40. Exodus 40. And walk them through what it means that God comes in this presence with fire and with wind. You see, that's a sign that God is with his people. And so in Acts, when the Spirit comes, it comes with signs of fire and wind. Part of what Acts is telling us is that the Holy Spirit is God, the very presence of God in our midst. Now, that's not you can't look for a statement like that in Acts 2, but as you read the story of Scripture, I don't know what other conclusion you can come to. And you can walk people through that. Okay, second thing. Here's maybe the most incredible thing. And here's the last question. If the Spirit is God and comes with signs of God's glory and presence that are connected with filling a tabernacle, where is the tabernacle in Acts 2? People, yeah, you are. In the giving of the Spirit, God comes to cover and fill his tabernacle under the new covenant in Jesus. We as the church, and personally each one, are that tabernacle, the dwelling place of God from the gift of the Spirit on Pentecost and ever since. That's why we're a Pentecost people. We are gifted with God's presence. We are the dwelling place of God here on earth. For Moses' encounter with God, he looked ahead and longed for Pentecost. This is what we read in Numbers 11. If, a little further on from the end of Exodus, there's again this conflict in the book of Numbers with grumbling and complaints. And the Lord sorts this out by taking some of the spirit he gave to Moses, and he divides it up and he gives it to these elders. And as the spirit rests on these elders, they prophesy. And then the spirit leaves, except for two of these men, and who continue to prophesy. And Joshua, one of Moses' assistants, says to him in Numbers 11, beginning at verse 28, "Moses, my Lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." You see, this is why we are more than just an Exodus people. We're a Pentecost people. We are with God. We have been saved. We are being formed in the presence of God and his welcome. And with Pentecost, something with Jesus, something new, something is greater has come in this new, this greater Exodus in Jesus. Because unlike before, where God's presence was something we had to be hid from for our own safety. Unlike before, where God's spirit was given for a task or a time, with Pentecost, God's presence is not just there for a little bit or just for this time or just for this thing to do, but it's an ongoing daily reality. We become the very vessels, the tents, the tabernacles of God's presence and glory. You see, with Pentecost, in you, God resides. Scripture in Exodus looked forward to a time when the blessing the Israelites have with God can be extended out to all people. And the Gospels, they make it clear that this long-awaited day and time is fulfilled in Jesus. In Jesus, the rule of God, the kingdom of God, the time when God's ways and glory will once again spread out and be for all people, and that God's will be done on earth as in heaven is beginning in Jesus. And so when Jesus is with his disciples in Acts 1, teaching them and spending time with them, preparing for them for his ascension, he tells them to wait for the Spirit to be given by the Father. And we read in Acts 1:6 how the disciples respond. They gather around them and said, "Lord, are you going at this time to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, it's not for you to know the time or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. So what happens when the Spirit is gifted? The people of God receive power to make known the good news to all people. The disciples at that time were wanting the kingdom restored to Israel, hoping that this power of the Spirit would help throw off Roman rule, and they would be able to live as their own nation, free under the covering and gifting of the Spirit. But Jesus is saying, that's too small. The purpose of the Spirit is a kingdom purpose, but not just for the Israel, but for all people. When the Spirit comes, we have God's blessing moving out from this one people to all people. When the Spirit comes, people from all over the world hear the words of the good news of Jesus. People from northern Africa, west and north, from Greece and Rome, folks from modern-day Turkey, and south into the Arabian Peninsula, and east, not that day as far as modern-day Iran. Most of the known world was represented there on Acts 2. And the giving of the Spirit to people like you and me, God was moving his plan along to return blessing and promise to all creation and all people. In Pentecost, all people are invited to be God's people, to join him in this greater exodus, to know him in Jesus as a saving and forming and dwelling God. So, what does this mean? It means we are Pentecost people on the greater exodus. At the end of the book of Exodus, the people are rescued, they're saved, but they're still on their way with God in their midst. And this is where we find ourselves as well. We're still on the way in this greater exodus with God, enjoying the Pentecost presence of God and what God has begun in Jesus, yet still waiting for the kingdom to come in its fullness. We see it beginning. We see it as people come to faith. We see it in our own lives and hearts, and yet we know there are still crises and troubles and dangers and worries. And so as we go with God tabernacling in our midst, what can we learn from Exodus? Like with Exodus, the glory and presence of God is to be at the center of all we do. We follow where God leads, trusting in the Spirit's direction. And our vision statement, our opening line is this: we are a family gathered in the name of Jesus, led by the Spirit, desiring God. That's what we want to do. We want to do that because we are an Exodus Pentecost people. Like then, with God's presence in the pillar providing shade in the heat of the day and fire by night to warm them in the cool of the desert, we are to look to God to provide what we need as we travel in an environment that is hostile, difficult, especially with large numbers, and it can feel like we're on the edge of survival. What we see in Exodus is that with God in our midst, with God leading, we have all we need. Now, that's not a promise that no issues will come up. We will face trials and difficulties and tests, but as we go with the Spirit leading, with God's glory and presence in our midst, there is no better place to be. There is no place better or can hold more meaning. There's no place that can hold more worth for you than to be in the presence of God, with God upholding and leading you. It is the adventure of a lifetime. That's my testimony. There is such meaning and purpose and hope in my life because by the grace of God, I am in his presence and he indwells me. So Pentecostal presence and tabernacle glory means that there is hope and meaning and rest for each of us because the Lord is in our midst and we are centered. Our lives center and revolve around the Lord and his ways. And sometimes it can look like chaos, eh? Like a bunch of people wandering in the wilderness, as it did to those Israelites and those observing them. We are those who know our map, our guide to life and faith isn't a thing, but a person, one we can trust, one who is in us as our comfort, our advocate, our teacher, and our guide. So we walk with this guide. We walk in line with the Spirit's leading. We learn from Exodus that God provides so that we can trust and obey and faithfully follow. This is how we unlearn fear. Fear is a big deal in my life. Anyone else struggle with fear? I can't be the only one. I mean, Scripture tells me not to be afraid so many times. Okay. In Exodus, we see this example of God's great act. And so when fear whispers and bolsters and puffs itself up to be, I can instead be encouraged that like in Exodus, God has this. God has me. God has us. Because the answer to fear is not for me to make myself bold or make myself courageous. It's instead to look to God in faith and in trust. And so I and we can look back with faith and see in Scripture how God is involved and at work. We can see how all of history is in his good hands, how he's setting to make everything right. There's a song I love. It's called Fear Is Not My Future. I think I've shared it with some of you. Here's one of the lines I love in that song. Let him, speaking of God, turn it to your favor. Watch him work it for your good. He's not done with what he started. He's not done until it's good. So we can lean into faith, to trust, to counter this fear that is in us. One of the practices I do is a prayer of faith and trust. It's from Julian of Norwich, and it goes like this. All shall be well. And all shall be well. And all manner of things shall be well. So when this week I feared for my children, and children in places like Ukraine and Afghanistan and Gaza, I prayed that. When there are wars and rumors of war, when I'm feeling not overwhelmed, or if I'm feeling overwhelmed or I'm not enough, I pray this prayer to remind myself that I can have faith in God. And I prayed along with things like Psalm 72, 18 to 19. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Pentecostal presence and tabernacle glory means that God has this and us and all things in his good hands so I can turn from fear and trust. to be personally and collectively as the church tabernacles where God's glory and presence dwells by the Spirit means that we are witnesses to the glory of the Father. So as we worship and fellowship and tell of the good words, the good news of Jesus in words and deed, we are witnesses. It comes as we live our lives faithfully and humbly by the grace of God. I spent a decent amount of my time with youth. And one thing I hear from them, again and again, from those who are turning to God, what was crucial to their interest and faith was a follower of Jesus who by faith and grace and humility was a witness. They didn't do it perfectly, but over time, consistently and faithfully, in their lives, the youth saw Jesus. And that can be you, for those around you. And someone like you, a tabernacle of God's presence, Jesus can be encountered. And here's one thing that's different. The Israelites, after leaving Egypt, did not have many people come to join them as the people of God. Not yet, anyway. But in the greater exodus of God's people in Jesus, the invitation to come and join in remains open. And it's through us, church, and his people that God's making an appeal. We are these mobile, embodied tabernacles where others can and do encounter God and are welcome to join in as his people. That is, after all, how each of us came to be here. All that began on Acts 2 and this Pentecost feast, it did not stop there. The church remains formed and empowered by the coming of the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. Each of us is here because in Acts 2, we saw the beginning of the gift and power of the Spirit to take the good news of the kingdom of God to the very ends of the earth. When I first said yes to Jesus, it was some 8,000 kilometers and 2,000 years from Pentecost. We are here, I am here, because of generations of faithful, gracious, humble people welcoming God's presence and letting God be known through their lives. And here's the really cool part. We now get to live out this adventure. That's what you are called to do, of being tabernacles of God's glory, being Spirit-indwelled Pentecostal presence people. We get to enjoy God's presence in our lives. We get to be transformed by the Spirit into the shape of the Son, to the glory and delight of the Father. We get to live out God setting everything right project in our midst, in our families, in our work, in our schools, wherever we go, even to our enemies. We, you and I, get to be little walking, talking, embodied tabernacles of God's glory and his presence. Through you, through me, through us, others can hear and know who God is. Can know God as a saving God and say yes, leaving their bonds of slavery to sin behind, broken as they walk into freedom. In us, God can be known as a forming God who welcomes first into relationship by his covenant and his presence shapes and transforms so others can say yes to becoming Christ-like. In us, God is revealing how he is a God who longs to set things right and dwell with us, his beloved creatures in creation, so others can say yes to the Spirit, who can then make them too into tabernacles of God's glory and presence. What does Pentecostal presence and tabernacle glory at work in us mean? It means we're a people who have great joy, who have good news to share. It means we're not limited to one place, one dwelling tent, but in each of us, God is at work to make himself known. Pentecostal presence and tabernacle glory is how the good news of knowing and dwelling with God has gotten a hold of you, and now it's at work in us, church. In you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, the Spirit is at work in you. You are the dwelling place of God, where God can be known and encountered. What a gift, what a mission. What a holy responsibility that with Pentecostal presence and tabernacle glory, power has come on you and in you to do just that, so that all may know our saving and forming and dwelling God.